A year ago this week, health officials in Washington state reported the first known case of the novel coronavirus in the U.S. Since then, COVID-19 has reached every state in the country, killing more than 400,000 people and infecting at least one in every 14 Americans. The statistics are horrifying. Horrifying in a way that's become way too normal. But life during a pandemic isn't normal. Not for us, not for our families, especially not for young people. I'm Ann Bailey, director of the Montana Media Lab at the UM School of Journalism. Last spring, we asked middle and high school students across Montana to record conversations with family, friends, teachers, and elders about this unprecedented time in their lives. What were they feeling? What were they worried about? How did they think the pandemic would end? Today, we take a look back at those conversations and the early days of the pandemic. First, the news.
I think this is a really difficult time for everybody. All the people who are in high school are going through this in a different way than everyone who is out of high school.
It takes a toll on the emotions when you can't be around other people.
Things are super uncertain right now, and nobody really knows what's going to happen for sure.
When new textbooks get printed for history class, the pandemic of 2020 will be a chapter in them.
My name is Claire Hahn. I'm a junior at Sentinel.
I'm Claire's grandfather. We live 3,000 miles away in a little town of Bob Cajun, Ontario, Canada.
Could you tell me how the government is handling it? What are they doing in Canada to help people?
Well, I don't think they're giving a flat sum of money out to everybody. They're giving out by category. Agriculture, people got so much, and people on low income got X number of dollars.
They are trying to help the hospitals and the nursing homes particularly that need the extra assistance, and I think they've done a pretty good job.
One of the worst areas in terms of death is nursing homes in Canada. You know, it's almost half of the deaths in Ontario, and a lot of the money is going towards improving the supplies and the services to those areas.
We're in cottage country, and a lot of people are wanting to come up to the cottages, and the locals are discouraging it. It's their bread and butter, but if we get an outbreak, our hospitals in the north just can't handle it. Like, most of our friends are retired, and they have an income, and they're not waiting to pay their rent, so it makes a big difference than those who are having to work and feed their families and so on, depending on their salary and their wages. So I'm very grateful for that.
What have you guys been doing to stay safe?
We have to maintain our, not our social distancing, physical distancing. There's a big difference.
We phone the grocery store and give the girl a list, and they tell you it'll be ready in 4 or 5 hours. So we drive over, flip the trunk, and they put everything in the trunk so we don't touch anybody or anything.
As older people living in a town that's having such a high death rate, how are you guys handling that?
That's a really good question. And because we're so isolated, we haven't been out talking to the folks that we normally chat with. And we've been notorious because our local nursing home had the first outbreak in Ontario. We've ended up with 29 of the 66 dead from the residents of that nursing home.
How are you guys entertaining yourself now that you've been quarantined?
We're cleaning kitchen cupboards we haven't done in 2 years and doing 2,000-piece jigsaw puzzles.
My Candy Crush broke down about 6 weeks ago, and Susan and Rob were here yesterday, and she got me back on Candy Crush. We were told 2 weeks ago that the home had 12 cases, but today we got the very best news we've had in weeks, that they've retested those people and there is no COVID-19. Yeah.
Yay, that's really exciting.
It is. It's the best news, but we were all very pleased with that and hope it's correct.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Okay, all the best to you.
My name is Noah Kitson. I'm in sixth grade at Valier Elementary. How has life been since coronavirus has happened, Grandma and Grandpa?
We're not able to go to church on Sundays. We did, they did start having a drive-in service here about a month ago. And so we can go every Sunday morning. We just stay in our vehicles and then they broadcast the service over the radio. So that's something that's a little different. We don't get to see all the people at church every week like we normally did.
It's changed for me because I haven't gone anywhere. You know, I don't go to town. I just don't do any of my women's meetings. The only thing I have done is I ride with Grandpa when he delivers, so I can get out of the house maybe once or twice a week. And I had to quit babysitting your two little cousins. So that's what's changed for me.
Do you feel better by staying at home?
Yeah, we definitely feel a lot safer for sure. They're starting to open up Colorado a little bit. And I'm really kind of worried that it's too soon. There's still a lot of people coming down with the virus and once they open up so that people can get out or start going out again, I'm really afraid that it's going to increase the number of cases. Even as they open stuff up, we don't really plan to change what we're doing. We're going to, you know, pretty much stay at home and
don't be cautious.
Yeah.
What do you hope happens as a result of this virus?
I hope that people can kind of realize that, you know, we really don't have a lot of control over things. You know, we like to think that we do, but we really don't. And I think this makes that very evident.
That, and then also that people will have different priorities, because when you're just at home, you're not just out going and buying this new thing or, you know, you just got to get what is really important in your life. There's so many things we think we need and we don't. And when we're at home all the time, we figure that out. Or if our finances have been affected by this, we figure out we can do pretty good. Some people have not been able to do so well, but, you know, just our priorities need to be in the right spot.
Well, I think we all need to realize that you can think you're young and healthy and that you're going to live forever, but boy, and you know, you can end up dying. And hopefully people will kind of realize that they need to live each day knowing that, you know, they could get sick and die the next day or next week.
So enjoy each day that you're on Earth.
It's nice to see you on the computer, Grandma and Grandpa, for letting me interview you.
You're welcome.
This is Ruby Lorenz interviewing my parents, who are both teachers, on how COVID-19 is affecting them. What are some challenges that come with online teaching?
I think early on, I was pretty nervous about, you know, using those type of technologies just for a variety of reasons. You know, the privacy of my students and families. And as this started to look like that we were going to be out of school for quite some time, I began using Zoom, not only for meetings with, you know, colleagues and things like that, but I do use it on a regular basis with my students. I really miss them and I miss seeing them daily and I miss our daily interactions and I miss my classroom.
I think it is important for them to see their teacher and for me to see my students. So that's one thing that I'll have to try to improve on as we continue distance learning.
Views on the use of Zoom and Google Hangouts in education?
I have felt very supported by the families of my students, and I completely understand that this is a huge adjustment for everyone. We understand that it is different, is much different than being in my classroom day to day. I think we're all doing the best we can in this situation.
I think if anything, parents and the community understands the importance of our public schools and the opportunities our students have to learn alongside their peers and with their teachers. We're all doing the best we can, and I think if we work together, then learning will continue to progress.
How have you been doing throughout this whole social distancing thing?
I have been doing very well.
Very well.
It's not much different than what Grandpa and I do in the retirement field.
What's your opinion on this this whole social distancing thing anyways?
I think the quarantine is over the top. I think that stay at home, save lives is a little over the top. But I also know that it's a highly contagious thing. I don't know where the answer lies.
Why do you think that this is so much different than any other pandemic, I guess, that we've had in the past?
You know, it's really funny. I think there was a lot of media involvement and panic, you know, that this was going to be this horrible thing. And in New York, it has been horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Not as horrible as they thought. So many people on top of each other. But I think the media hype has a lot to do with it. Trump did a good job getting some knowledgeable doctors. But I think Montana, we were fortunate. We didn't have many cases of it. And that's because we're pros at social distancing.
How exactly do you think living in Montana has made this experience different than it would be in like New York, New Jersey, California even?
I think that we're not right on top of each other. One of the best things for COVID-19 was fresh air and exercise. Well, I can walk down my street and around town and I don't come within 6 feet of anybody.
Grandpa is very, very high risk because of the asbestosis in his lungs and his recent surgeries. How has that affected this whole experience?
It's made him a lot more cautious. He had to go to the doctor in Kalispell when, you know, they had COVID. He was more aware of people coughing and being near him.
Yes.
You know, and so, you know, that's a good thing because then you're aware of what you're doing, you know, washing hands and being more alert of what's around you.
How do you feel about these protesters that are not wanting to wear these masks? They want everything to go back to normal.
You know, I feel that they have that right to protest. I think some people already had it and they didn't die from it. You know, I think it's a little bit hyped on the deaths. And I know that there's doctors on both sides saying opposite things. And, you know, that's America. That's freedom. People wanting to protest, not wear masks, that's a freedom too. And it's their right to protest. My brother Mike is hugely at risk, but he feels that it's his freedom to go out and put himself at risk.
Do you think it is in the right of the businesses to require masks when coming into their store?
Absolutely. I do, because that's their business.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted someone to wear a mask in my house, it's my house.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense.
Do you think that Governor Bullock's phases, phase
1, phase 2, phase 3. Do you think that that is in, like, within reason?
He's a more moderate, you know, governor, which is good. I think he cares about Montanans.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I miss my grandkids.
We miss you too.
I think that we're going to come out of this, and I think things are going to get better.
My name is Emma. I am from Sentinel High School. I am in 11th grade. The first thing I had was just, how is your quarantine going?
Right now, I'm trying to help my nieces and nephews deal with their father having died, which was within like 2 or 3 weeks. And then my aunt passed away. They all could grieve with me, but, you know, just online. I just think it helps to just visit with people and just say, you know what, this is tough, but you have to accept what it is. And then you can move on. I've had to find time to take care of myself, which I've been doing. I do a lot of family history. I'm just at this point trying to put a personality to my parents who have passed away and what kind of characters they were. So I'm writing that up with pictures. And then this is just for my kids to have as a family history.
Your mother ended up coming up from Mexico as a migrant farmer, and your father ended up coming from the Philippines to a new country. So you truly are the first generation American. So how do you think that has affected the way that you view these kind of historical events, like we're going through right now?
Well, my mom and dad were very strong and very independent. As my mother had moved most of her childhood, moving from field to field and following where her parents would get a job in the fields, she did not get a very good education. And my dad, being from the Philippines, he had a little more education because over there, they were able to come to the United States and get jobs here and do some of the manual labor that the Americans needed. But my dad was too smart for that, so he decided to get a job with the railroad, which paid really good. I think because of who they were and how important it was for them to live in the United States, that's where I get my positivity about how we can get through this together.
What do you think is gonna take to get us back to a time where we trust scientists again?
We have to use our own brains to think about what we're being told. Back when John F. Kennedy was alive and he believed so much in us getting to the moon, that was just the big thing and everyone was so excited about it, and all the rockets that they sent up and all the people that finally got there and made it happen. And I think we as a nation, as Americans, need to have that same belief. But I think they're going to realize that without science we would not be here, because we are not invincible, and we must work together so we are not overcome to the dark side, as they would say in Star Wars.
Thank you for talking to us and being willing to share your voice.
Thank you for asking.
I'm Ivan Chatto, a ninth grader at Sentinel High School in Missoula, Montana. First of all, can you introduce yourself?
My name is Eric Scott, and I am a resident of Farmington, Utah.
For you personally, how has your life changed since the pandemic started?
The biggest way my life has changed is the inability to get out like I normally would.
What exactly is your occupation?
So my company is BioFire Diagnostics and makes testing instruments and reagent test kits to detect infectious disease.
Oh, wow. So yeah, that's a big thing going on right now.
We're in the business of what we call syndromic testing, which is the ability to test for multiple causes of a syndrome all at once. Our respiratory panel initially was being used to screen out the potential that an individual patient might be infected by this particular strain of coronavirus, the SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus. Our panel does look for previously known strains of coronavirus, the strain that caused the SARS outbreak in the early 2000s and the MERS outbreak in the early 20-teens. But because this new SARS-CoV-2 is an emerging pathogen, it's not yet in our panel.
Oh, so you use it to see if it detects anything else?
Right. So clinics and hospitals could use BioFire's test to indicate whether a patient's signs and symptoms were the result of an infection from one of those other pathogens. And if so, then there's a possibility that what that patient is experiencing isn't due to the new coronavirus.
What insights does your job give you that other people don't get?
I think the biggest insight that I get is how important the scientific method is to addressing problems that society deals with. BioFire and other companies that are developing tests are able to do that because of scientific discoveries that have been made up to this point. And without those, we would be using non-proven means of trying to deal with these sorts of problems.
Are there any other precautions that you and your family take?
So we plan ahead much more than we have in the past. We tend to wear masks when we go out. We wash our hands a lot more than we used to. We don't socialize because there's a risk that comes with social interaction, and that's because the incubation period of this virus is so long. It's possible that somebody could be a carrier, not exhibit any symptoms for a number of days. They start to become contagious.
Thanks for talking with me, Eric.
Hope you guys keep hanging in there.
You've been listening to interviews by Montana middle and high school students recorded during the early days of the pandemic. We'll be back with more conversations after the break. We're back with more conversations recorded by middle and high school students across Montana during the early days of the coronavirus pandemic.
My name is Malone Ingram, and I'm a junior at Sentinel High School. Today, I decided to interview my Aunt Tona, who lives in Helena, Montana, and she's a librarian in Clancy. And I just wanted to get her perspective on everything.
I'm not gonna lie. I feel very uncomfortable. Yes, going into stores, and you have some people who are wearing masks, some people who are not. My concern is that our numbers are just going to spike up because people will not take the precautions that they need to.
Did you ever think that it would reach like this point?
No.
No?
No. Oh my gosh. I thought it would be like the H1N1 virus from several years ago, that it would be, you know, just a flash in the pan. It would just affect people for a little while.
So you're a librarian at a small school in Montana. So how has like school closure been for you?
Oh my gosh. You're going to get me very emotional because it is terrible. It's terrible. I hate it. We have so many kids who need school, not for education. Need school as it is a safe space. They need school because that is where they're getting, you know, maybe the one or two meals that they get a day. And to know that they don't have that is devastating. It's devastating. And you know, those small children have no idea what is going on. I mean, here they are at school on a Friday, and then Monday, all of a sudden, they can't go to school. They can't visit friends.
So even though like it's been hard, obviously, with like work and stuff, have you noticed anything like positive about this whole situation in general?
I am home with my two daughters. I have a senior, and my eldest daughter is a freshman in college. And then we also have another young woman who is staying with us, who is also a senior in high school. So just to be here with the three of them and, you know, just being able to spend time with them.
Obviously, the defining thing of 2020 is going to be COVID-19. And I was just wondering, do you think this will impact how we live forever?
I think that the coronavirus is here to stay. And if that's the case, we as a global society have got to get this figured out, because I do think that what is going to impact us into the future is the lack of supplies in the healthcare system and the lack of testing availability. Because the one thing that is going to drastically impact everyone, and especially the next generation, is going to be the fact that we can't afford to have everyone sheltering in place and shutting down half of the economy for months at a time every time we have an outbreak of the virus.
Thank you so much for doing this.
It was my pleasure.
I wanted to know how, like, the virus has negatively affected your senior year and how that's been rough with things and activities getting canceled.
We missed our prom, which isn't a big deal to me, but it's a big deal to a lot of other people. And right now, no one's really sure how graduation is going to happen or when. And that's honestly the most disappointing thing about it. And also, just not getting to see anyone from school ever again and not being prepared for that moment yet.
Has COVID affected any of your post-high school plans, like work, travel, or school?
It's kind of affected work. A little concerned about how I'm gonna make money before I go to college. Just not knowing whether it's gonna be different in the fall, and comparing tuition prices for different schools, and like, if I do end up doing online college at home, should I pick the school where tuition is less?
How do you feel like your family and like you are coping with staying at home and online schooling and stuff like that?
It definitely started out difficult. My dad primarily works from home, so I think my sister and I have been intruding on his space a little bit.
Has the virus affected either one of your parents, their jobs or like income and stuff like that?
My mom recently got a second job that she hasn't been able to officially start because coronavirus hit just as she got the job.
Gotcha.
And my dad is a carpenter, so right now everything's going all right, but looking into the future, he's worried about his business because other people haven't been able to work and make money, so they're not looking to build or buy houses.
Have you and your family chosen to abide by the social distancing standards?
My dad, with his clients or like other people that he's working with, can't necessarily use Zoom. So he has definitely had to break the guidelines a couple times.
My name is Tor Haugen. I am 30 years old and I live in the Bay Area and I work at the UC Berkeley Library.
How has COVID-19 impacted your work?
Luckily, my actual day-to-day work hasn't changed that much, just because of the nature of my work. I'm writing articles, I'm interviewing people. So like the methods have changed, but the actual workload has not changed that much.
If you do have some extra time in a day, what have you been finding yourself doing to fill up that time?
The boundary between work and life is so blurry now that it's like easy to like work for 10 or 12 hours a day and not even notice it. I'm also like trying to be creative, do creative projects when I can, like music, writing. I've been doing a lot of reading, and I try to like set boundaries on how much news I consume, because otherwise it gets a little dark.
What would you say has been the hardest part of adjusting to this new normal?
I think the hardest part has been the psychological impact, because honestly, as like an introvert, staying inside all the time and like not leaving is kind of second nature for me. But the part that's a little harder is the uncertainty of it all.
Thinking back to when the virus was just beginning, what did you think was going to happen with it? Did you think it would get as bad as it has?
Well, it's interesting because I think I had kind of a insight on it because my boyfriend Felix is from China. By the time it even got here, it was already pretty bad where he is from. So I kind of expected it to get bad. San Francisco has a pretty big concentration of Chinese immigrants. So I was worried about that, you know, that travel back and forth, spreading the virus potentially. By the time it even got here, I think Felix's family was already pretty much under lockdown.
I assume you've been social distancing, correct?
Yes.
What does social distancing mean to you?
When I can, I do social distance. Right. I mean, my boyfriend Felix and I, like, we do see each other. But for the most part, I've been social distancing. Mm-hmm. So I've been using masks. I don't know if it's like this Montana, but in California, you go to a store and there's like a line outside, like it's a nightclub or something. There's like a bouncer like letting you in one at a time. So that's been different.
Is there anything positive that you would say has come from this?
I think that like not commuting has created a positive in terms of the environment. I think this is like helpful. The other positive impact I think is like just the community is really rallying together. It's kind of connected people in a way that probably previously would not have been possible.
So feel free to not answer if you wouldn't like to, but what did you think of President Trump's response to and handling of the coronavirus when it first began getting bad in the United States?
It's been confusing, but it's, in fairness, it's been confusing from a lot of different people, not just the president. But definitely it seemed a little botched at first. It seemed for a while there, it felt like he was more worried about his reelection chances than actually helping fix this outbreak. He's kind of inconsistent. Overall, I don't think his response has been good at all.
My name is Bennett Wright, and I've chosen to interview my dad. He's an anesthesiologist. His name is Stephen Wright. So how has COVID-19 impacted your daily life?
Well, when things were more on a lockdown, there were no elective procedures being done in the operating rooms. And so I was not very busy at all at work and had a lot more free time than I expected or wanted.
How hard has your life been compared to someone who isn't a physician or who isn't in the hospital regularly?
Well, I think it's definitely been different for everyone. Fortunately, I have a job where we have able to take care of all of our needs. That being said, there was certainly a time when, like I said, I was not working, so I was not getting paid at all during that time. So for me, that's how it affected me and our family. Other people had it much, much worse, I'm sure, and ended up losing their jobs.
What precautions have the hospitals in Missoula put up to like keep patients and the physicians safe?
Well, there's a few different things they've done. One of them is that they require all people in the hospital to wear masks. They've also limited the number of visitors that can see people in the hospital. It used to be during the lockdown, they were not allowing any visitors at all. Now they're allowing most people get to have one visitor while they're here in the hospital. They're also testing everyone who has a surgery to make sure that they don't have the virus beforehand.
What have the physicians specifically been doing, like in the operating rooms and out? What has been different than before COVID-19?
Now that we're started doing surgeries again, everyone's getting tested. So in the pre-operative area where everyone comes to before surgery, we're limiting friends and family in that area and only allowing the patient themselves to be there. Then during the surgery, everyone wears a mask. There's also times when if we don't know if a person has been tested or not, but they have to have surgery, then we'll just assume that they have COVID and we'll use the special precautions for that individual, such as a special N95 mask and gowns and gloves and just overall being more cautious.
what was your initial reaction to quarantine?
I thought we needed it so it doesn't like help spread the coronavirus.
What's your opinion on school online rather than in person?
I like when like we go to school and they like teach us all our information that we need to know and like are there to help instead of like having to email them. But then I like the teachers put out the homework for all week, so then I'll get it done early in the week so I don't have anything the rest of the week. And sleeping in. I like sleeping in.
So if you had to pick a side, which side would you lean more towards?
Probably in school. Yeah, you'll have homework almost every day, but I'd rather be taught and away from the house than stay here.
How has it been different with your family being quarantined?
Half the time, like, when we go to school, I get out, and, like, when I get home, I'm like, woohoo, hi, family. But now, since, like, we're all stuck together, I'm like, Mom's stuck at home, so she's trying to find a way to teach here. Dad still is able to go to work, so it's just, let's just not kill each other while we're here.
What do you miss most about everything being normal?
Sports. I was supposed to golf this season because for Colorado, we have softball in the fall. And so I was supposed to golf, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, I think our softball season got called off last week. And our seniors are pretty bummed about it. I mean, I am too, but at least it's not my senior year.
That is true. I think we had like 6 girls on the golf team and 3 of them were seniors.
At least it's a year they'll never forget.
You are a high school art teacher?
My name is Seth Lundy and I live in Issaquah, Washington. And I'm a high school art and photography teacher.
How did your community react to the initial outbreak?
I feel like the county government and state government did a relatively good job of trying to maintain a sense of calm, but also taking pretty drastic steps pretty quickly. At least in the state of Washington, we were probably 2 weeks ahead of a lot of other areas in terms of social distancing and not going out.
Did you feel like you were well informed on everything happening in your area?
So we were staying pretty tuned into the news. We were trying to make sure that we were aware of what was going on and watching the most recent updates.
What are your thoughts about just how coronavirus is being treated in your area?
I'm still teaching, I'm still working, I'm still getting paid. It was easier for us to abide by all of the precautions. I've got friends and family who work construction, who work in the food service industry. And so for them, you know, I think they felt like in some ways it might've been a little overblown.
If you could change anything about how it was handled, how would you change it?
I wish things would have closed down a couple of weeks earlier just to really try and stop the virus from spreading early on. I saw it in a local paper and also on NPR that was saying if nationwide, if social distancing had started a week earlier, it was like 36,000 lives could have been saved. When my wife went in for her 38-week appointment, her doctor had said, we're hoping to be able to screen all, you know, laboring mothers to make sure they're not gonna pass the virus on to their babies. You know, she wasn't screened, so I don't think they have as many tests as they would like to have.
So obviously coronavirus affects your home life a ton, but how has it changed the pregnancy and birth of your newborn?
So when our first son was born, we had some family in town. My wife's family showed up, and so there's 4 extra people in the room and we're all standing around and you know, holding this brand new baby. What was different this time is essentially once we went into the hospital, we weren't allowed to leave. They couldn't say, all right, it looks like your labor's beginning, but it's gonna be some while, so go take a walk or, you know, go home and come back in a couple hours.
How has your daily life changed?
There's been a lot of weeks when I haven't been able to put in nearly as much time as I would like because we're home as a family. The silver lining side of it is I've gotten to spend a lot more time with my son. We've gotten to hang out a lot. I basically got 8 weeks of time to hang out with him that I wouldn't have gotten to figure out the routine. Got to go take care of the baby. So I hope that was helpful.
No, that's totally helpful. Thank you so much.
Okay, of course.
feeling right now?
It's very funny that you scheduled this Zoom to talk about social distancing, because in Poland, we've been doing social distancing for 5 weeks now. We haven't had school in 5 weeks other than online. And just this past week, the rules were extended to the point where we have to wear masks when we're outside. That had not been part of what we were doing, but there are ways to make your life seem normal, even with everything going on. The best part about this is that I get to spend so much time at home with Aunt Susan.
How's like going to the grocery store over in Poland?
So here's the thing. There's the social distancing, but there has not been any of the stuff that I read about happening in some of the places in the USA. There hasn't been a run on toilet paper. Store shelves have never been empty. There's never been a big sense of crisis. So for us, it's actually been fine. The stores now have limits on how many people can be inside. Every morning, it's only people 65 and older who can use stores and stuff. But really, aside from the fact that school isn't in session, it doesn't feel so much different.
So it sounds like there's lots of like preparations and like cautions kind of being taken there. Is it like really bad there, or just being prepared for the virus?
The government that's in place in Poland is a very reactionary, nationalistic one. And they've done some things that in the past, before this virus came out, really upset a lot of people. I think that the government here has done a great job of saying, you know what, people, this is coming, this is happening, and we want to do what we can to slow it down. Friends that we were with this afternoon made an interesting comment. One guy is Polish, and he said, look, this country grew up under communism, right, for 50 years before. And so people are used to following what the government says. If they tell you, here's what you got to do, people do it. And I think because of that, it's done a really good job of handling the whole coronavirus deal.
You're a teacher. So how has this switch to online schools been for you?
We were planning on having a practice school shutdown day the very first day that the government actually said schools are closed. We moved right away. We didn't skip a week. We didn't stop any of our teaching. We moved right to doing online learning. But from the very beginning, our school administration said, hey, this is school. You're still taking classes. You're still learning material. And the kids have really been responsive to it.
Did you guys already have computers?
Yeah, our school from grade 6 on, everybody has a computer. So we don't worry about that at all. There's not even a question, however, of, oh, do you have internet at your home? It's just expected. One of the things that I didn't even think about with schools in the U.S. is for kids that don't have parents who have jobs, the school is really the source of a lot of their nutrition, and how shutting down schools makes such a big difference in their lives. And that's something that doesn't even come into play for us at all. And it's heartbreaking to read some of the stories out of some of the larger cities, especially about how we don't want to shut down schools because 2/3 of the kids rely on us for their meals. That's been hard to look at.
This is like the worst part in the world right now, and is in the United States. And so how has it been viewing that from, you know, a different country?
So there hasn't been widespread panic. There hasn't been protests. There hasn't been this whole movement to say, oh, it's our freedom. And I think people here realize this is a big deal. And the best thing is to follow the rules, get it over with, get through the point where you're going to crash your hospital system by having everybody get sick at once, and eventually things will get better.
It's a very positive outlook on the situation, for sure.
Susan and I sit around our dinner table and talk to each other and say, from the outside looking in, it looks like things are being handled much worse in the U.S., and there's more confusion and there's more unease and unsurety of what's happening. And it makes a lot of sense for us to stay in Poland because it feels like it's being handled very well here.
Thank you so much for this. It was awesome. Yeah. I had fun talking
to you. Yeah, kind of fun. I hope I helped you out.
So how has Corona affected your professional life? Like, how has it changed the way you're working?
Dramatically. It's creating a whole new way of work. So as a school district, we're not used to being in the childcare business, but we've been asked to provide childcare for families working in the medical field, first responders, or in grocery stores because they are considered essential workers. So we are providing that for a small number of families that need it right now.
How has like Corona affected your students? So are they still on like schedules or are they just getting up whenever they want to and doing their homework? Like, is it the same schedule every day or has it changed?
I think it varies by family. And I guess I could ask you that question. Are you sleeping in or getting up at the same time every day? Some kids have figured out a schedule and other kids are still figuring it out. And we're also figuring out if you're in kindergarten or first grade and you're learning to read, how does that look when you don't see your teacher every day? So it is a learning curve and a learning process. And we're not there yet. We are still trying to get better at it each day.
How has Corona affected your life or like your community as a whole? How has Corona affected that part of it?
Some days I feel like we're living in a twilight zone, right? Like, so I get to drive to work every day. A lot of people don't, so they're staying at home. So at least I have the routine of getting up and coming into work. But when I get here, my day is very different. I might be used to going out to dinner or going into a movie or going and seeing friends, and now I can't do that. So we are finding new ways to entertain ourselves at home. We're learning how blessed we are and not to take the small things for granted each day.
Is there anything else you want to add just for future people who look back and think, what happened during this pandemic?
From a school perspective, this situation isn't anything we were really prepared for or thought would happen. At some point, we will go back to kids coming to school in classrooms. But very honestly, I think from now on, how we do virtual learning is going to look different. I think if you are looking at this several years from now and you're looking back, be thankful for what you have and be thankful for what this has taught us in education, but in other ways just of what we take for granted and how much we have to learn around what we're doing.
The reason why I wanted to do this project in the first place is to get my voice out there. I have not been able to see my dad for almost 2 months now because he's been seeing my grandpa a lot and he's worried that we have it. And it's been really hard for me. I miss just being able to just hug somebody. Even though COVID-19 is going to come to an end, it's always going to be strange to go hug someone.
We are living through a historic time, and this is something that future generations are going to learn about, which is just so insane.
These were supposed to be the fun months of our senior year, and now it's just taken away.
It's not just one place going through this, it's like the entire world.
Once quarantine is over, I'm going to think about my family more.
I feel like we're being tried to see if human beings can be like, okay, we're going to connect on this and like get through this together.
If we can persevere through this, we can persevere through anything.
You've been listening to an oral history of the coronavirus pandemic, recorded by middle and high school students across Montana. This program was produced by the Montana Media Lab in collaboration with the Fall 2020 Intro to Audio class at the UM School of Journalism. Funding provided by the Hearst Foundations and the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. For more information about the Montana Media Lab, visit montanamedialab.com.